This morning I would like us to consider some words of the Apostle Paul found in our second reading, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and the very comforting and strengthening words of verse 16. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace by all means. The Lord be with you all. You may recall that in response to a vision, the Apostle Paul turned his back in his missionary journey on Asia Minor, and he became the first Christian minister or missionary to preach in Europe. At that time, he was with others, Silas, Timothy, and Luke, and they preached first with significant blessing in Philippi, a Roman colony, and then they moved on to Thessalonica, the largest and most important city in Macedonia. We do not know for sure how long Paul and his friends preached in that city, but we do know that the preaching was with great success, both among the Jews and among the Gentiles. But before long, the unbelieving Jews reacted in a hostile way, and Paul and the others had to move on. This was in AD 52, and 2 years later, in AD 54, we believe the apostle wrote his first letter to them. And then, probably later the same year, AD 54, he wrote a second letter, which is the letter before us this morning, a letter which seeks to deal with some of the problems which this newly founded church had to face, and particularly to guide the behavior and conduct of the members. And here we are at the conclusion of this second letter. And Paul includes for the Thessalonians his prayer, and he follows it with a benediction. And the emphasis of the whole is on peace. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace by all means. The Lord be with you all. I want to speak briefly this morning of three things. Taking the overall theme of peace, we shall consider first the reality of this peace. Secondly, the bestowal of this peace. And thirdly, the enjoyment of this peace. So our first heading is the reality of this peace. The Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. In this world, there are many things which can disturb and can trouble us. And we are often in need of peace. Because we are troubled, perhaps distressed, and it could be at our very wit's end, we need peace. And why is it that there are so many things to disturb us and even alarm us in this world? Well, first let's take account of the fact that we live in a fallen world. I mean by that that the world is not what it was at the very beginning. When God created the world and everything in it, he beheld and pronounced it very good, and it was very good. There was nothing in the world at that time which could have given rise to fear or anxiety. Everything was perfect. But when sin came into the world and judgment following, all that changed. And the sad effects of it are for all to see today. God declared that the world would be full of sorrow. It would involve men in a struggle continually. And disease and ill health would dog men and women, and ultimately they would be brought to death. We need just to take account of that in passing, that we're not living in an ideal world, which the world was, fresh from the hand of the Creator, but in a fallen world. Secondly, we must remember that sin is within all of us, and we are constantly having to confront sin in our own lives, because the sin in us is ever moving us to do wrong in God's sight. And there is a struggle within us between holiness and sinfulness. And this is alluded to in Romans chapter 7, when Paul, almost in frustration, says, "The good that I would, I do not. But the evil that I would not, that I do. Oh, wretched man that I am." And that pains him and troubles him greatly. And there's a second reason why we need peace. Thirdly, we need to remember that the way of holiness is not easy. The apostle taught in the book of the Acts of the Apostles that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. The way to heaven is not easy, particularly if we be true to God, true to our knowledge of his revealed will, true to conscience. It's not easy. It's uphill. It's a rough road. And there are many things to challenge us on the way. Anyone who thinks that it's not thus as I describe, well, let them try to live godly and holy, and they will see before very long that it is a hard way, all the way to heaven. And then further, we can say that in our experience along this way, there are discouragements and doubts which we have to confront. Jacob, as an old man, speaks to Pharaoh in Genesis 47, verse 9. And he says to Pharaoh that few and evil have the years of his pilgrimage been. There speaks a man who is very aware of life's experience, but has been often thrown down and overcome by discouragements. And his verdict as he looks back upon his life is, few and evil have the days of the years of my pilgrimage been. There are discouragements. And when we are truly discouraged, we lose peace and we need to find it again. Further to this, our experience of God can vary in this life. Sometimes we feel that God is very near to us and we're very happy and positive, and we proceed in the sure awareness that God is blessing us every day. But it's not always like that, is it? And Psalm 42 has the psalmist trying to talk with himself. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me, lacking peace. Hope thou in God. He'd lost his sight of God. He'd lost his awareness of God. He'd lost the blessedness of God. And so it is in spiritual experience. We can be blessed and strong. We can be unblessed and weak. And at the time of our weakness, we can become distraught and in great need of peace. Let me add that sorrows we know in this life, and sometimes those sorrows can completely overwhelm us. Maybe you know this in your own experience. You've been upset by something or someone even, and you wept in private, and in your heart you've been very, very sad. David knew that. He says in Psalm 6, my soul is sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? I am weary of my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. The valley through which we pass may be a very testing one. Scripture refers to the valley of Baca, literally the valley of weeping. Sometimes providence leads us into that valley. And how much then we need peace. Perhaps we turn to others and we're disappointed with them. Instead of understanding us and sympathizing with us and addressing us as someone in need of help, they seem indifferent. They don't have that empathy with us, which we long for. If they say anything, perhaps they say the wrong thing, and it aggravates our poor state. The apostle knew all about that when he wrote his last epistle, and he says, all forsook me. But he adds, but the Lord stood by me. Do we know something of that? The failure of others. And that acute disappointment, we look for help from a certain person, and it wasn't forthcoming. And the disappointment has increased our sad state, made it much worse. Because we thought these others would have delivered. We thought they would have understood. We thought that they would have been of help. But they failed us. And that's when we need peace. I have not mentioned here the fact that afflictions abound in this life. We have many troubles. As we get older, those troubles seem to increase and to multiply. We don't have the spirit and the strength to face those things as once we did. So not only are our problems greater, but we ourselves are weaker. And how much we need his peace. Otherwise, we will be distracted completely. And we will be on the verge of despair. The fact is, my friends, this world is not heaven. And in this world, we don't have rest. As the prophet says, arise and depart. This is not your rest. And the world is not our home. As the old song says, we're just a passing through. So this isn't where we can settle, where we can find lasting peace. Because earth is not heaven. This life is not the life to come. And in this life, because of this very fact, we are in greater need of peace. Well, what I want to say this morning is this. There is peace. As real as our troubles, as real as our sorrows, and here is the reference to it. The reality of this peace. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace by all means. The Lord be with you all. The apostle points us to the Lord of peace. And he is referring to the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the one whom he mentioned in chapter 2 and verse 16. Now the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he describes him here as the Lord of peace. There is peace. It's to be found in him, our Savior, our Sovereign. And there is a peace that he can grant us better than any peace from any other source. The Lord of peace. His mission when he came into this world was to bring peace. We read in the prophecy of Zechariah chapter 6 concerning the Lord of hosts and that one who is to come, the Savior. And it says, and the counsel of peace shall be between them. In other words, the Father and the Son will agree to this, that they need to bring peace into a very troubled world. So when at last that promised one came, do you remember what the angels said to the shepherds? That unto them was born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And they said, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. In sending us a Savior, God's goodwill has been fulfilled. And in this Savior, this friend of the troubled and the lost, in him is peace. He brings peace. He's the Lord of peace. And when we read of him in the Gospels, we are confronted with one who is of a peaceful disposition. You think of how he's described as the Lamb of God. What is it about a lamb? The lamb is not like some voracious beast, instilling fear, creating dread in other creatures. No, the lamb is so mild and meek. And that's how the Lord appears, to be of a peaceful disposition, a lamb. And in Matthew chapter 11, he calls to the distressed and to the troubled, and he says, come unto me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. There it is, the disposition. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Peace. The gospel message is really a call to peace. Come unto me, and ye shall find rest for your souls. And you may say to me, well, that's the trouble. I am not at rest in my soul. I can't point you to circumstances or situations which make me like I am, but I am a poor, troubled soul. Be it man or woman, I'm in a sad state. Yes, so it can be. But my friends, there is one who is called the Lord of Peace. In dying for us at Calvary, he made our peace with God. He took our sin and suffered for it, that there may never be anything to answer for again before God. He made our peace. The chastisement which brought about our peace was upon him. And now he's risen from the dead and he's exalted at the right hand of God, and he's able to give us the very peace we need. And if we have him as our Lord and Savior, we have peace. Because the scripture speaks of joy and peace in believing. If he's ours, he'll keep us safe. He will keep us well. He will keep us in perfect peace. And that's the promise of Isaiah 26. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee. I don't know of anyone else in this world who can give peace like the Lord Jesus Christ can give peace. Oh, there are many who promise to give it, many who are trusted to give it, but only one has the prerogative and the ability to bring peace to anxious, fearful hearts. And it's this one, the Lord of Peace. He said on one occasion, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but in me ye shall have peace. It is a reality. Don't let anyone persuade you that it doesn't exist, that this is just vain hopefulness, the pastor trying to be positive. No, no, it's not that. That of which I speak is real. It's in the hands of Christ and given to his people, who thereafter are kept in peace. The reality of this peace. Let me turn secondly to the bestowal of this peace. He is the source of it, of what will relieve us and what will deliver us from distraction. But here's good news. He will actually bestow it. His peace he will share with us. It's one of his gifts. He says to us, comfort ye, my people. It's not only in him, in great measure, but it can be in us because he gives it. Mark those words, the Lord of Peace himself give you peace. It's not merited. There's not anything we can do to make us more acceptable to God and more deserving of this gift. It is a gift given freely and graciously. Do you remember how the Lord appeared at the evening of the first day of the week after he'd risen from the dead? And he comes to his disciples, and there they were, depressed, anxious, dreading the unexpected. And he appears in their midst. And the very first thing he says to them is peace. Peace. He would have everyone know that he is the source and he is the giver of true peace. He said to his disciples, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Wouldn't it be wonderful if someone dropped peace into our hearts? Perhaps we're in a state, even this morning, and quite quite distracted in our own experience, all over the place as men speak. Wouldn't it be wonderful if someone somehow could grant peace? I tell you, there is someone who bestows peace. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace. Why does he do that? Because he is the Prince of Peace. Because there's no one else who can help us. No one else who can really calm us. He's the Lord of peace. And he has tender mercy for his people, even if they are struggling, even if they are full of fear and foreboding, even if their hearts are in a state of terrible flux, he can grant that peace. He bestows it. And it's not as if he bestows it once for all, so he gives it perhaps on the day we believe in him and are converted. That's it then. No, no. He daily loadeth us with blessing, the Bible says. He gives grace upon grace. On more than one occasion, Jesus said to his troubled disciples, "Peace, peace." He comes again and again according to our state, according to our need, according to our prayers. For every emergency, for every calamity, he has more peace. He is the inexhaustible supply of peace. And therefore, whatever the condition into which we inadvertently lapse, and however sorry a state we are in, he's the Lord of peace who can cause the storm to settle, the waves to cease rising, the wind to cease blowing. Peace, be still, the Lord of peace. It's very, very special. When Jesus says in John 14:27, "Not as the world giveth, give I unto you," he means that my peace is like no other. The peace of this world is a peace which is known and felt when everything is at peace around us and concerning us. But the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ can be given though the world is a troubled place for us, though we are in a state of confusion, not knowing where to turn. We can be in that state and he gives peace to us. And the problems continue and the troubles proceed with us, but in our hearts we have peace. And the Bible calls that peace beyond understanding. It's peace we can have in the midst of trial, in the midst of upheaval, in the midst of distress and sadness and grief. Peace. Peace from our Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, when he gives peace, it does not fail. It does not disappoint. His people know it because he's bestowed it upon them. The bestowal of this peace is his gift to us. And where is it received? It's in our hearts. It's a gift in our hearts. It may not be in our lives. We can still be thrown to and fro by adverse circumstance, but there's no denying of it in the heart. Paul refers to this. The peace of God keep your hearts, he says. That's where it is. And that's where it's felt. It has, in other words, an inward calm. And it's granted to the best place, to our hearts. And where it is found, fears are removed and rest is given. It can suddenly come, unexpectedly come. One moment we can be in a life that is undesirable. We wonder where our next trouble is going to come from. What else can go wrong with our life? And then suddenly, he gives peace. Amazing. And if that doesn't suffice, he gives more peace. And if still you're uneasy and still anxious, he gives yet more peace. He's the Lord of peace. He's got all the peace that you and I can need. And graciously, sovereignly, he bestows it. Once and again, he bestows it. And such a blessing. It's the peace of God. Not such as man devises and man can grant, but the peace of God is from the Lord of peace. And it's blessed to us, the Bible says, with that peace we enter into rest. So we keep close to him. He has the answers to our every need. He has the peace for troubled hearts. He says to us, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. We turn our eyes away from ourselves to him, the Lord of peace. Whence comes my peace? I am thrown about by my doubts and uncertainties, by my trials and my troubles. I seem to be at the mercy of the storm. Where is my peace? With him, the Lord of peace. And he can give you peace adequate, peace sufficient, peace enough for every fear. Know him, find peace. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Seek him. And if you seek him truly and ask for it in prayer, he will not deny you the bestowal of this peace. He is happy to grant. It's one of his love gifts. He's happy for you to receive it. The Lord of peace himself give you peace. The reality of this peace. The bestowal of this peace, and thirdly and finally, the enjoyment of this peace. Give you peace always, by all means. Don't pass over that word, you. Give you peace. To whom are these words addressed? To the believers who were in Thessalonica. He's not writing to those who rejected the gospel when he came to them, to those who turned away from the Lord Jesus Christ, preached to them. No, no, give you peace. You that are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's for you. And once that peace is bestowed, you may need more of it to cope with life's troubles and disturbances, but you'll not be denied it. You'll never be denied it. And it will be given and will never be taken from you. So you may say to me, how can I have it then? And the answer is really in the final words of the text. The Lord be with you all. If you have Christ with you, Christ in your experience, you will have peace to enjoy. Our trouble is when we turn away from him. Then we're at a loss. Then we don't know what will become of us. Then we become consumed with our own concerns. But if the Lord is called to our aid, called to our side, he will bring peace with him. The Lord be with you all. He says, he will give you peace always. The word means continually. So that for every emergency, for every calamity in life, he has the peace which you need. Always. We're apt to be in our minds thinking, well, all right for today, but what about tomorrow? Always. Always. Like a river, that peace is always flowing toward us. And he adds, by all means. The meaning of that is in every way. It may be that it needs a sermon like this morning to give you the experience of peace. It may be that somebody will call you to mind and pray for you, and that's what's needed to give you peace. Maybe you'll read the scriptures and you'll find it for yourselves. Peace. His peace. By all means, in various ways, the Lord will see to it that you enjoy his peace. And if you have peace, then you can face tomorrow. And you can look at what you dread in the face. And you can go on, nothing daunting, because you enjoy peace. We live in a time when people are so anxious and nervous and troubled. This is part of our human experience, but it is part of our Christian experience to enjoy peace. The Lord of peace himself give you peace always, by all means. The Lord be with you all. Amen.